It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
It was the most beautiful assist of the season, and that's not even up for debate. Sauce up the middle, sent my captain in on a breakaway.
You Carlsoned it from your own goal line?
I Carlsoned. Basically is worth like 30 or 40 points.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Everybody's working for the
weekend. Hour two live from the Barry Molson Center ahead of a massive game tonight. The Colts playing the Greyhounds. The Leafs with a rare off night tonight in preseason action. Thursday nighter, Packers taking on the Bears at Lambeau Field.
Big night.
It's a big night, and it was also a bit of a difficult day for a lot of gentlemen around the world. We haven't mentioned that Hugh Hefner passed away.
Yes.
At the age of 91.
Black one of my most band. Disappointing moments in the National Hockey League. I was at the Playboy Mansion. I got my picture taken with Mr. Hefner, and the photographer at the Playboy Mansion, she said, got my email. She said she would send me the picture, and she never did.
I bet you she did, but you probably flushed it.
Flush what? My mail? A giant picture of me and Hugh?
But how many emails do we flush a day?
That one I wouldn't have flushed.
Yeah, if it came across Playboy Mansion, you probably open it. I've been to the mansion as well.
So both of you have been to the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah. Yep.
How did you get access?
I went with Rob Blake and Nelson Emerson.
But Andy how did Ellie. You, like, what was the connection? You can't just walk up and be like,
they told me, look, we're going to the Playboy Mansion. I was in L.A. at the time. We played the Kings, and then on Sunday we played Anaheim. So in the day in between, I generally did not miss curfew, but I made an exception for that.
I missed curfew as well.
Right? That's so nice of you guys.
I couldn't get a cab out of there because to get to the Playboy Mansion, you have to go to UCLA, get in a shuttle, and it drives you up there, and you can't get out of there. I was waiting for a cab with the guy from the Peach Pit. You know that old guy that was in the Peach Pit in Beverly Hills 90210?
No way.
Me and that dude were trying to go home, and we couldn't get cabs.
How did that guy get in the Playboy Mansion?
I have no idea. He was the cook. Like he was the short-order cook.
No
from
kidding, but that
the
guy.
The Peach Pit.
That's too much access, man. Yeah. If he can get in, anybody can get in.
Well, I got in. I was with an actor named Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor on Smallville. He's still, you know, he's a stand-up comedian. He does still stuff now. I think he's, can't remember his show right now.
So when were you there?
We were playing the Kings. Same thing, same road trip. You're playing the Kings, you're playing Anaheim.
And how did the Kings not win every home game for 30 years?
Because you played guilty. Because you knew you better pull your head out of your rear or else you're never going to get to go back to the Playboy Mansion. Or you won't be in the league. We had a great night. I remember talking to one of my teammates. I'm not going to out him, but he was with me. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and we practiced at 10 o'clock. And I said, I'm just going to stay a little bit longer. And he was like, no, you better come with me. And I ended up making it back for practice. Didn't sleep that whole night. Slept that afternoon. And then I wasn't starting, but then my goaltender allowed 3 goals on about 6 shots, and I got thrown in. So I was praying to the hockey gods that I got hit by the puck.
First, how'd you play?
I was no good initially because I don't think I could see the puck. But they scored on the first shot, and then I settled in after that. I think the hockey gods settled, you know, basically.
Hooked you up.
Hooked me up. We ended up coming back and tying that game. It was a tie. So
I mean, think about that. You guys, NHL players. And all of you had access, which means the NBA players had it.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball players.
The first
players.
Thing I saw when I walked in the Playboy Mansion was Rick Fox from the Lakers. He was on the D floor shredding tiles, and there was just hundreds of gorgeous women around him.
Yeah, it was. It
the
is.
Most impressive part about the Playboy Mansion is all the beautiful women that are trying to impress Hefner and company, right?
Yeah.
And they're just.
So they had no interest in you guys.
Well, I mean, there was
some
interest.
Do you know how much clout being a Carolina Hurricane was in the Playboy Mansion? It was zero.
Yeah, I was rolling with a couple guys that actually did pretty well. So I kind of...
The crew was batting about 450 at the mansion?
I was coattails, but it was one of those things where I just drank my face off, basically. Mm-hmm. And I didn't touch anything that was... I was warned... Don't drink the punch and stuff because it was like spiked with
drugs. What, like ecstasy or something?
Well, who knows? I mean, you read stories about it, but I just remember drinking vodka out of a bottle, well, and whiskey, too. But that was it.
Well, I mean, listen, Hugh Hefner, 91. The guy...
He had a good run. He cashed his chips, when was it, yesterday?
Yeah, I guess it was early this morning or late last night.
As Jerry D said today on Twitter, really thinking about Hef's wife, she had no idea this was coming.
Right, 91. I saw a couple of GIFs, too, of people like with the face on, like, yeah. I don't think so, when someone was tweeting out that he's in a better place now.
I don't know.
No, he's not in a better place. He was in the greatest place about 65 years.
He had a good run.
He had a very good run. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here momentarily. He was in Quebec City last night calling Leafs Habs, and the Habs are now 0-6 in the preseason. The Leafs are 4-2. So, again, I've been saying this throughout the preseason. The wins and losses ultimately are irrelevant, but 0-6, what it does do in Montreal is it gives media members something to yell and scream about. It gives them something to write about, yell and scream about, and we've got Ray now joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I guess we'll begin there. We'll get to the Leafs in a moment, but the Habs, 0-6. I mean, what was the vibe like kicking around that team?
Well, you know what was really funny to me was going in there and seeing a bunch of Canadians' jerseys in Quebec City, because, you know, that back in the day, that would be, you know, a fighting move, right? Like that was not, but now it's the only team in the province, and, you know, the people were excited to see them. But they talked about today, I just finished on Montreal radio just a couple of minutes ago, and they talked about today, Claude Julien and Shea Weber, about that, you know, it's time now. They've got too much standing around. Basically, they're not working hard enough to get anything accomplished, and I would agree. I mean, they don't defend particularly well. They certainly don't create anything, and so you're like, well, what exactly are they? Like, what are they going to be? And the answer is, I don't know. And so for the people watching that team or cheering for that team, the concern has to be, what exactly will the Canadians be this year? Like last year, they didn't give up any goals, under 200, and they were, you know, 103 points. I don't see that happening again. Their defense just isn't, it's no good. It's not as good.
Not just the defense, though, Ray, or, you know, you want to talk about systems or line combination. They just seem like that team that's already, it's only training camp, and they kind of got a March vibe where a coach is going to get fired to it. There's just this... I don't know how to explain it. It's just a real, it's a bad thing this early on in training camp for that vibe, when I can kind of sense it watching it.
I guess I would say they look like a team whose best window has already gone by them. And so, you know, you've still got very good players. I mean, there's, you know, Pacioretty's got 30-plus goals 4 years in a row. Galchenyuk should be 25 to 30 goals. Last night he was really quiet till he had a couple of chances late. You know, Drouin's going to be I think he's a terrific player. He's really, really going to be good. But then you get, you know, Gallagher will have a bounce back year. He had 10 goals last year but he was hurt. But after that, like, what do you have? Like, what are you super excited about? What makes you think that the turnaround's right around the corner? That's why, to me, it just feels like the best part of that team has already gone by. And it's not an easy thing to correct, right? Like, how are they going to make that defense better and more mobile? How are they going to add more scoring up front? Where are you going to find it? Even though, you know, they've said, we've got some cap room. Well, that's nice. Good. Go add a player. Oh, nobody wants to give you a player. Or the ones they do, you don't want. They're in a pretty tough spot, I think, anyway. We just did our playoff, or I did my playoff guesses, and I've got Montreal in that 7, 8, 9, 10 spot in the East. I don't see where they're going to be.
Where are you going to put them?
Right now, if I sent my thing in today, I'd have them out. I just don't see it. Like, I don't think they're as good as Toronto. I don't think they're as good as Boston.
I think if any of the analysts from TSN put them in, you would only say because of Carey Price. That's what you say. Oh, they got the best goaltender in the world. They're going to be in.
Well, it goes both ways, though, too, because we were talking about this earlier. You got to put someone in. So, right. Okay, Tampa goes in, right? But let's say you're taking Ottawa out, and I'm kind of thinking they're going to be right there on the edge. Who am I putting in? I don't love Florida. I don't love Philly. I don't love the Islanders. I don't love any of these
teams. I have my if I remember correctly, I have Pittsburgh, Columbus, Washington from that division. I have Tampa, Toronto, Boston from that division. I have Carolina, and I believe I took the Islanders as my two wild card teams.
Yeah. See, I mean, right, as the Rangers, like, that's a team that I have a circle.
They're going south. Don't they feel like they're going south?
I'm trying to figure out what the Rangers are, you know, and then to your point, Brian, and I'll include you, Ray, like, everyone else, there's that what if. Okay, so if Philadelphia gets goaltending, are they going to be okay? If Vasilevsky can settle in as a starter in Tampa, you know, what's going on with the Islanders? Is Boston, if Tuukka Rask at some point, if he has a down season, I think Khudobin, I don't like the backup there.
Right, like there's nobody that you go, you know, that makes you go, oh yeah, they're fantastic. But
right,
I guess I just looked at Montreal for two nights in a row, and I know it's preseason, and you're talking about you're worried about Boston's backup or whether Vasilevsky can hold the position in Tampa. I'm looking at Montreal and thinking, I don't love their defense. I'm not sure where they're going to score. I'm like, outside of Price, what's the strength? You can't say, oh, yeah, they got Shea Weber. Good, it's not basketball. You can't throw it into the post to the big guy and have him dominate the game, right? Like, I see holes in that lineup that are pretty concerning.
Well, and then when you look at Toronto, you know, they're on the opposite side of that ledger. There's a lot of optimism, a lot of positivity. But if you're going to pick holes, you might look at the defense corps. Although I got to be honest, through camp, I'm starting to feel better about the depth that they have. And then you're going to look at the backup goalie who played last night. And I thought he played really well. And this is typical of every fan base, and I'm included in this. You always need something that keeps you up a little bit at night. And in Toronto, it has been relegated to Curtis McElhinney.
And Dominic Moore at the fourth-line center position.
But that's not going to make or break a season. You know, like, I'm talking about people that are like, oh, how could they have McElhinney? McElhinney, he's brutal. All he's done is perform since they picked him up. Like, he has performed really well as a backup here in Toronto.
The
now,
question
does that mean
is,
he can play
if something
games?
Happens to Frederick right. Anderson, can this guy go in there but, and do a job?
But you know what? You can say that about 10 organizations across. If Cam Talbot tweaks his knee, is Laurent Brossoit going to do it in Edmonton? You know, if Mike Smith does that in Calgary, is Eddie Lack going to carry the mail? Like, you can literally, if Lundqvist goes down, like...
I'm pretty sure the people that watched Al Montoya the other night, they're probably thinking the same thing. What the hell's going to happen if anything happens to Carey
Price?
That's
the point, is if you're sitting there going, well, if this guy goes down, yeah, well, that's the what-if game again.
I mean, not very often somebody's going to find Mike Condon and come in and do what he did. You know, I mean, that was a lightning bolt. And every other team would be holding their breath if something happened to their, you know, to their big guy. I just it's so hard to have depth really at anywhere, because somebody that you're going to put in has to be cheap enough to fit in the cap. He's probably going to be young and or inexperienced, or an older guy that you hope he can hold the position. The biggest problem I have with McElhinney is he looks really, I don't know if this is the right term, Noodles, but he looks boxy in the net. Like, nothing really looks very fluid. He makes a save with his glove, and sometimes he falls forward. Like, he made a save last night, and I was doing the game next to Marc Denis, and we looked at each other, and I mouthed to him, what was he doing? And he said, and Marc said, I don't know, but he stopped it. And so, you know, like, that's, I would say, the biggest worry you have when you look at McElhinney is he doesn't look really smooth. He doesn't look like somebody that could carry it for 20 games. Noodles, you said yesterday, you know, 5 to 10 games, sure, but past that, yeah, every team's going to miss their starter.
And the reason I can identify that is that's what I was as a player, and I was honest with that. By the time I settled in as a backup in the NHL, I knew I could give you 10 games in a row, but could I give you from 10 to 15? I was going to drop off. My consistency was going to drop off. I'll go back on McElhinney, Ray. The one thing on Curtis is the word fluent, because, you know, Carey Price, when you see him in the net, everything is fluent with him. It just looks so easy. With McElhinney, he's a battler in the net. So there's not a lot of saves that are consistent, but he gets it done. And that's the one thing that he's a terrific two, but if you ask a two to be a one, we see that
right
in any position.
But that's the whole
thing.
They're
going to struggle.
That applies. You're asking a second center to play like a first center,
right,
a second defenseman to play like a first
right
defenseman. That applies, but you're right. I mean, optically, McElhinney is not the most reassuring goaltender you've ever seen, needless to say. But
he's been great,
though. He's been very good as a Leaf. And if this is what we have been relegated to, that this is the concern, feel good about where your Maple Leafs are at. Because
yeah,
3 years ago, it was who's the first-line center, second-line center, first D, second D, coach, GM.
It was a
gone. It was a disaster.
Well, exactly. If you're picking apart the backup goaltender,
you're
then,
in a very good
you're
spot.
You're in pretty good shape.
But that's what I'm saying. People are picking it apart because, as Leaf fans, we are just
no. We're sniffing out a disaster, and what happens if a disaster happens?
We're
and
programmed.
It's ridiculous.
We're programmed to think that.
One day we're talking about this team has so much promise; they should make the playoffs. They could. There's a Simmons article. Let's plan a parade, and then the other. Then we're barking about a backup goalie. It's nuts. We're all nuts.
That's what's so beautiful.
Well,
I know.
You're nuts that you're sitting there with Hayes jerseys on.
Excuse me. Hang on a second.
We got
here
a guy who signed a contract.
A one-day contract with the Barry Colts. All he has to do is be up here, mix and mingle, do the show, and he's a Colt. He signed. Dale Hawerchuk presented him with a one-day contract.
That's absurd. Are they going to have – do they have any – like, you're dropping the puck, aren't you?
Yeah. Wait a minute. What's absurd about that? Explain what's
you
so absurd.
Hang on here. Let me finish this thought here. So are you dropping the puck? When they bring a
yes
guy out to drop the puck, usually they play highlights of him as a player.
Dale Hawerchuk said to me, he goes, that's quite a stat pack you got. He had one assist total.
What if they found like YouTube footage of him like coming around the net, chipping it off the glass,
or putting it over the glass for 2 minutes? Well, did
and
you guys see that the Rocket? That's my highlight. Maurice Richard just got credited with like an assist at 60 years old. I should be scouring the tapes for
oh,
a second
Christ
assist. I'll bet you I have a second apple out there that they screwed me on. I guarantee.
Yeah, or maybe the one that you have, they'll take back.
Right. It was a two-line pass, actually.
Keep in mind, Ray had 108 more goals than you did 1 year.
Right. I know. Well, I was going to ask you that, Ray. Like, what is your fondest junior memory? We're kind of doing this whole junior look-back thing today. You must have had a lot of them, I would assume.
Well, I would say two really stand out, is just as you asked that. One was winning Memorial Cup with Portland when I was 18. Then I got traded that summer to Brandon. And in that year where I set the record, I had a game against Prince Albert. I got 7 goals. And that was a pretty good night at the office.
Yeah,
nice.
7 goals, I would think. I mean, that,
I had six,
that's got to be
six
a
after
reel
the first two. And I butchered a couple of chances in the third, and then I scored with about 30 seconds left to tie the record. So, yeah, so those were two that really, you know, were really pretty cool.
Were you running for your life in the third? I mean, that's old school Western Hockey League embarrassment.
That might have been the game. You know how the games you mesh them up together over time. But we had a brawl in the third period of a game, and it might have been that one where somehow the puck came down to Hexie, to Ron Hextall, at our end of the ice, and the brawl was at their blue line, 5-on-5. And Hexie skated out, and everybody's kind of on our bench. We're like, what's he going to do with a puck? And then he just rifled it into the middle of the brawl. He just fired it in there.
Tell me it hit his own teammate.
No, it hit a PA guy right in the back. And we were like, oh, what is he doing? It might have been that game.
And now he's the GM of a National Hockey League team.
And he's composed and quiet And when he'd strap his pads on, by the time that last buckle went on, as he tightened it, the screw came a little loose up top there. Like, you were not going near Hexie's crease. That was a bad piece of real estate.
I just remember, Ray, didn't you tell the story of where the trainer fell down on the ice and a bottle rolled out of his pocket?
That was when I was playing Junior B. one of their guys got hurt. Their trainer jumped over the boards, slipped and fell and got hurt. Two guys saw them, and as they turned, they smashed together. So, like, they were okay, but they smashed together. So our trainer jumped out to help, and when he hit the ice, he fell, and this Mickey bottle skittered across the ice all the way across the ice.
That is so outstanding.
Oh, God.
I need to meet that guy.
I'm sure my dad would have been thrilled, sitting there watching, going, that guy's supposed to be looking after my son? The bottle of booze sliding across the ice.
That's awesome.
Half full, too, which means he was already half cut.
He might have been driving the bus, too, for all I know. It's not like we had a big budget back there, you know.
No kidding. We were talking about Hugh Hefner passing away. These guys have both been to the Playboy Mansion. Have you ever been there?
No, I played on the golf course and walked by it right there, L.A. Country Club. But no, never been.
No invite, or you turned it down?
No invite. I wasn't cool enough to go there.
Wow.
I would have liked to have gone and seen that scene.
I mean, these guys are telling me the guy from the Peach Pit from 90210 was somehow invited there. So I would think L.A. King legend Ray Ferraro would have gotten an invite at some point.
No. Never happened. I don't know any of our guys around that time. Maybe when Gretz was there, when people really gave a damn about the team. But when we were there, we were just kind of like keeping the room warm for the next guys.
Ray, we got to give you one Barry Colts question to stay with the Barry Colts theme today. To start your organization in the National Hockey League, which Barry Colt would you take first overall, Mark Scheifele or Aaron Ekblad?
Can't take Brian Hayes?
No, I'm off the board.
Actually, okay, we should ask. I would take Scheifele too. Do you remember Dennis Svidlicky?
Svitsky.
We can't even say his name.
I don't remember playing against him or anything, but I remember the name because of the spelling.
Yes, it was weird.
Did it start with an F?
Yeah, it started with an S.
S-H-V-I-D.
Yeah, it was kind of a goofy spelling. Yeah, I just remember the spelling.
A few years down in Florida before Noodles got down there. So you would take Scheifele over Ekblad, huh?
I would. I think Scheifele is a stud. And Ekblad took such a step back last year, injuries and such, you know, hurt before the year. Scheifele's just been on a steady climb, and he would be my guy.
Well, I mean, you can't go wrong either guy, but I don't think that would have been the answer 2 years ago. Prior to the concussions and the injuries, when Ekblad won Rookie of the Year and was a superstar at 18 on defense, come on, that's what you're looking for.
I'm with you, but he's got to get back there, and Scheifele's already there. To me, Scheifele is a bona fide number one top end centerman. There's not half a dozen centers in the game I would take in front of him.
Really? Yeah. Well, listen, you look at his point totals, and
he's fifth in the league in scoring last year.
Yeah, he's
gets
unreal.
To play with some good players too.
He's got some mean with him, you know, like he's a little. He can really shoot it. I think he's a. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, quickly, because you were calling that game last night, we haven't really asked you who stood out. I know you were mentioning Borgman during the game, but touch on his game and how he looked and the other defensemen that were currently fighting for that job, the 6 and 7 spots.
I thought Rosen had a really quiet game. He looked he didn't look like it was a smooth night for him. Borgman's rough around the edges. I like him because he plays like just straight ahead, and he brings something that they don't have in their other prospects, and that's that physical bent to his style. Actually, I thought Marincin was okay, and then we got that goofy goal, and then all of a sudden he started to skate with a puck, and he made a couple of good breakout passes, and Dermott had a quiet night. I thought Marincin was the best of that foursome last night. I don't know if that's enough to sway if it needed to be swayed. But of those four, that's, you know, I thought Rosen and Dermott were the two quietest guys last night.
Well, I mean, Marincin was, I believe, skating with Carrick today. So maybe Babcock saw it the same way. And the way camp opened, I find it hard to believe that Marincin's the guy who ends up winning this gig. But they would lose him to waivers.
You're in a hole, yeah, they say sometimes when you're in a hole, stop digging. You know, like, I think he kept digging himself deeper and deeper. He looked more and more shy as far as, he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to make a play. He didn't, and then all of a sudden last night he gets this goofy goal that bounces 6-8 feet in the air, and now he's skating again, and he's, you know, he made a pass or two with it. You go, oh, that was a really nice play. And so maybe you get to a point where you just somehow you relax, and that's key for anybody. But for him, he looked paralyzed before that.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Make sure you get the puck in the circle when you drop it.
Oh, I'll be a disaster. An emotional disaster.
Yeah.
Believe me.
And hopefully your haircut has grown out enough that you won't be embarrassing in that picture that's going to be around forever.
It actually worked out beautifully. They've got like CTV cameras up here. We've been taking pictures. They're going to have cameras on the ice. And I got butchered just long enough where it's coming okay.
You've escaped.
I've escaped. So I'll be okay. Don't you worry about it.
Enjoy, boys. Have fun up there.
All right, man.
Okay, Ray.
There he is.
Yeah.
Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are now on with 0% financing and lease rates on the Corolla and RAV4. Visit MapleToyota.ca. We're live at the Horsepower Bar and Grill inside the Barry Molson Center. We're going to do a raffle to give away the tickets tonight. We're going to be up in the suite. We're going to be dropping the puck. We caught up with Dale Hawerchuk, head coach of the Colts, in the previous hour.
We've got a mix and mingle.
Bit of a mix and mingle.
It is.
And we've also got Packers-Bears tonight. Tony Romo is calling that game. That's two games in a row for yours truly, watching my favorite team with my new favorite broadcaster calling it. I love Romo. He's going to have the call tonight. You can obviously watch it on TSN, hear it on TSN 1050. We've got to get to Bob McKenzie in the 6 p.m. hour. You okay over there?
I'm all right.
You all right? We're going to get to our new turkey dump segment.
Yes, the turkey dump.
And maybe continue to look back on the life and times of Hugh Hefner. Black armbands up here in Barrie. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. The boys are back in town. We are live from the Barry Molson Center ahead of the big game tonight, Colts Greyhounds.
Would you pay that guy with the mustache to come over here and say, do you remember me?
Famous Billet up here with the Barry Colts.
Wow.
Famous Billet.
He was your Billet?
My original Billet. I had to
move
afterwards.
Well, I hope you'll remember him.
Well, I got kicked out of the house like 3 weeks in. I had to move to a different Billet because there were new rules. It's very complicated, but yes, of course I do. I remember...
Why did you
Most
get kicked out of your
Maybe
billets?
He kicked you
No,
out.
It wasn't about kicked. It was, I was, they had two players staying with them, and there were new rules that each player had to be in one individual house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I originally got there. I was with a veteran, but then we all were in separate houses for
did
the most
have,
part.
Did you have a billet?
Yeah.
When I started in Spokane, there was five of us that lived at a house.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Five of us. And they had... the parents and the son, Larry. And Larry was like 30 years old, lived at home, just a gritty guy.
Was he a degenerate or what?
Larry was a special person. Beauty. I'll call him a beauty.
I like that.
But
So how could your head coach possibly think you guys would be preparing for games, living the quality lifestyle that they would hope you would live as a Lethbridge Hurricane?
Well, this was in Spokane.
In Spokane.
The Billets were lunatics. I think they got kicked out, like, eventually, because I remember coming home 5 minutes late one time, and they called and told on me. They told on me.
Wow.
I had a sit-down with them afterwards.
The Billet relationship with junior hockey is probably gets overlooked.
It's fascinating,
quite frankly.
You're just living in somebody else's house.
You've never met these people before. You show up, all of a sudden you're on the team, all of a sudden you live in their home. They take you in.
Yeah.
They look after you. lot of times cook for you, do your laundry. I mean, whole nine. It's an incredible commitment that people make throughout the country. Like, I'm
no kidding.
Sounding
I would
hokey
never
here,
do it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, with I can't believe that people.
It's hard enough living life with your own kids, your own issues, your own problems, and you're bringing some stranger in.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And luckily for the Canadian Hockey League, families all over the country do it.
Yeah, and they don't make money off of it because you're basically eating them out of house and home.
Well, no kidding. Like, they get a certain amount from the team, but they're dumping it right back into whatever they're putting on the table every single night.
This is, I mean, this is, things are a lot different now 30 years later. But back then, there was a player on our team that got a couple DUIs in a week. So they were so mad at him, they put him in a, they basically moved him, I'm not lying, and this is terrible to say, but like they moved him to like a trailer park where this family like took him in. And it was like,
are you kidding me?
I'm not lying.
So back this truck up here. This guy got clipped twice in a week.
In a week, yes.
And then to try to get his life back on the right path, they sent him to a trailer park.
To this, like, gritty family. And it was something else.
Wow.
Like, the father was would drop the hammer on him, basically. Like, it was...
Like,
it was,
top rope kind of stuff?
Not,
like,
no, not physically, but just was, like, in this guy's grill daily.
So that was, like, the ace in the card for the organization.
It was basically, like, yeah, like, send him out with this family.
If someone
see,
messes you, around, you're going
you,
out
you
here.
Wanna, you want to see how real life is? Go and go and
hang
stay
out with Mr. Leahy.
Or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I mean... It's great to be up here. We're giving away tickets. We're raffling away tickets throughout the afternoon. We have a couple of winners we want to announce right off the hop. Tyler and Michelle are going to be hanging out.
Nice.
Tyler and Michelle have won the first pair of tickets. They're going to be up in the luxury suite with us.
Excellent.
We're going to drop the puck at the game tonight. We've all got our Hayes jerseys.
A little nervous,
home
actually.
Blue. The cameras are out. Crowd's going to be rocking. We're at the Horsepower
Bar.
It's
going to start firing up in the next hour.
Yeah, it's great. It really is cool to be down here. And, again, we got the Thursday Nighter tonight, Packers Bears. It's not the same without Cutler.
No.
Like, I was thinking about that as I'm prepping for the game tonight. The Packers
what are you
going to
miss his picks like late in the game that are so crucial?
I am. Like, I'm going to miss him just handing it on a platter to the Packers,
driving down the field and then throwing a pick for a pick six.
Opposite way, thank you. Win, cover the number. Always appreciate your effort.
Of all the picks I think I've seen him throw, he just was legendary throwing picks against the Pack.
They never beat the Packers. Like, the Bears, it's like the Leafs and Habs.
Well, the Bears beat Pitt last week, didn't they?
The Bears have actually been surprisingly good. Like, they could have beaten Atlanta in week one, and they lost. They could be 2-1. Thing is, they went down to Tampa in week two and got destroyed. And people are waiting for Mitchell Trubisky, the kid that they traded up to get second overall in this draft. They're waiting to see if he's going to play, if he can perform. But the Bears and Packers are like the Leafs and Habs. Or Yankees and Red Sox.
Right.
And the Bears, they very rarely beat the Packers. They have, but they very rarely do. And there is a connection between what's happening with the Leafs and Habs because, yeah, the Leafs just beat them twice in preseason. The Habs have beaten the Toronto Maple Leafs 14 games in a row in the regular season. I believe that's right. 14 in a row.
Wow.
So even with all the optimism surrounding the Leafs and people are down on the Habs, and we've all talked about it, is Montreal a playoff team? Are they not a playoff team? You got to knock off the champ before you can take that claim. And they did win the division a year ago, and the Leafs really cannot be that cocky when it comes to the relationship between these two teams because the Habs have owned them for a long time.
I agree.
And we'll see if they can overcome that this year. I'm willing to guarantee that they will beat them at least once.
Do you really think there's a likelihood, though, of Montreal like really turning it around and starting the season on fire like they do every year? I don't know.
I don't see it.
They just got a vibe about them, or I just don't see it happening right now.
Well,
total Toronto Maple Leaf. It would be so leafy if they beat them all games this year again.
Yeah,
that would be the leafiest thing.
I believe that the Leafs are going to find another level this year. When you look at what they've been able to do this last year, the talent, like, I mean, there's no denying what they have right now. Like, they're loaded with talent. I think you're looking at the model almost like the Pittsburgh Penguins, where, okay, they did it by committee on the back end. Yes, you had Chris Letang, but let's not forget, Morgan Riley's a hell of a defenseman.
Jake Gardner.
And so is Jake Gardner.
He's a very good player.
He's come along.
A good player.
Now, Gardner is good, and Ray says this all the time, and I think we should probably not learn from this, but have it in our mindset. We're always looking at what Jake Gardner can't do instead of what he does do. Well,
watching him in the preseason, I don't think a lot of people would be focusing on Gardner because you know who he is and where he's going to play. He's going to match up with Zaitsev. He's going to play big minutes.
For the first time in his career, he looks like a veteran.
He looks like the game has slowed down for him, and that is exactly what people have been waiting for the longest time because he can skate, he can move the puck, he's skilled, he's got a shot. He's always had the tools. And in the past couple of years, he's really improved. I mean, under Babcock, his game has gone through the roof. And I thought last year he was their most consistent and best defenseman.
I was always worried about him processing the game, the way he thought the game.
But that's what I'm saying. It feels like the game has slowed down.
Yeah.
And if it slows down for a guy with that kind of skill set, I think he's going to have a career year. And that's what you got to remember is we're breaking down Borgman and Dermott and all. That's the sixth defenseman. There's a good chance guys like that will filter in and out.
Right.
You need depth. But your top four defines who your defense core is. And if Jake Gardner is capable of playing 22 minutes a night and playing sound defensively and supplying some offense and being a top 15 or 20 defenseman in the league, I think he has that capability.
And that's one of the different levels that Mike Babcock brings to the table, because if a young player, maybe a college free agent or somebody, is thinking about a team to pick, and if you have a coach like Mike Babcock and you say, this guy could take my game to that level, guess what that means?
Right.
More money for the player.
No kidding.
So if a player understands that a coach can help him turn the corner, it's going to do nothing but put money in his pocket.
Well, who's the next guy?
Can you imagine if Jake Gardner was signing a contract after this season right now?
Oh, he'd be he's making, what, 4.2?
Yeah.
4.5? But who's the next project then for Babcock? Who do you think is the player? Is it still Riley? Is it one of the kids? Like, I guess there are parts of the kids.
Maybe getting
game.
Morgan Riley to take that next step and really elevate. That
right.
could be his yearly project.
First year it was Kadri, and look what he did with him. It seems like over the past couple of years, Gardner has been a guy that he's really focused on and has tried to cut out some of the plays that people would focus on, and I think they've done a great job. And more credit goes to the player than the coach, but Babcock factors in. But who is that next guy that you think is a project for Babcock that he can bring to a new level?
Connor Carrick?
I think
on
the back end.
I think Carrick's
only?
Limited.
Are you,
though. I think
are you talking on the
just
back
in general?
End just in general.
In general, like is I don't know.
Is it Zach Hyman? Is it Connor Brown?
Connor Brown could be an interesting guy, but I don't think those guys have the skill sets to get them to the point
you
where
can't
we
take blood, you can't get blood from a stone.
No,
okay.
Exactly.
Here's one, William Nylander.
It might be
because I think Nylander he wants to kick in the ass some nights. Because he knows that this kid is so talented, but I think somewhere in the back of his mind, he knows that maybe Willie knows he's that good of a player, and he takes some shortcuts on nights.
And Jamie, sometimes when you elevate your game as a player, I knew sometimes I really had an appreciation for a coach.
Right.
When you're playing well and you have that one bad shift,
right.
you can actually like turn away and don't say a thing.
Okay.
You're going to have a bad shift. That's
yeah.
not, that's not,
yeah.
and you gain more respect for the coach because you're like, okay, he gave me a hall pass there. I got to go out and prove it.
Yeah.
And it's like a subtle little thing of not saying anything might be a big difference in a player understanding that you have that trust from your coach that you're going to go out there and make up for it.
Oh, yeah. Tracking right. Babcock and his tone and how he interacts with the players and the media this year, it's going to be a storyline. It's going to be a storyline because this is why they brought him in. For the first 2 years, of course, but ultimately, there's a reason they made him the highest-paid coach in the league. It's for now when the expectations are high. This is why he's been Team Canada coach for the past two gold medals.
Yep.
Get the job done with the top talent.
But, okay, so it's William Nylander and Mitch Marner. I mean,
I think Riley is still included in that because I do believe Riley can be better than what he's been. I didn't think he had a good regular season. I thought he had a great six games in the playoffs.
Yep.
But I think it's a situation where he has enough talent where he can be a bona fide top two defenseman on any team, including this one. But I don't think he's reached it yet. So for me, you know, Riley's one, Nylander's one. We're talking high end talent.
But that's you're right. That's
that can iron out some wrinkles in their game and bring it to a different level, and in doing so, help this team continue to grow and continue to improve.
Well, Claude Julien's got to do that with Drouin and Galchenyuk in Montreal.
Absolutely.
Same type of thing.
Yep, there's always a project with high-end talent players on every team.
They might be a part of the turkey dump when we come back.
You want to do that? All right, we're going to get to our new segment, the turkey dump. Thinking about all the university kids throughout the country who they don't have a clue what's about to hit them next week.
No, it's a sky dump.
Yeah, they don't have a clue what's coming. We're live at the Barry Molson Center ahead of the game tonight. We're in the bar. We're giving away tickets. We've already given away a couple to Tyler and Michelle. We're going to be up in the suite. We're dropping the puck. Sioux Greyhounds, Barry Colts. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Don't forget, tonight is Overdrive Night with the Barry Colts. We're live at the Horsepower Bar in the Barry Molson Center. Come meet us for your chance to win tickets to the box, brought to you by our friends at Scotiabank. Scotiabank hooking it up tonight. And it's a fair amount of people already kicking, and we're still over an hour and a half away from puck drop. So we've had a couple of people pop by.
Yes. Your old Billet's here.
Former Billet. Guy who remembers you, he claims.
One guy who claims that he does remember my illustrious
career. Guy in the
career.
White shirt.
Yes, the guy in the white shirt behind the bench.
Like the guy at the ACC who's...
The tanning bed king.
Always so tan, but always put
Someone
together.
Someone made t-shirts with that guy's face on it. With
really?
The, yeah.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
The tanning bed king.
If you've ever
t-shirt.
Watched a Leaf game, you know who that guy is.
Yeah. I call him... Rich Tan Dale Hunter.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Dale Hunter.
Yeah, and really? He's always got a Don Cherry collar on and a nice suit jacket.
It's probably worth $100 million.
Oh, he's...
Those seats would suck.
No kidding.
They would be
worse.
You're staring at the coach's ass.
Yeah,
game.
You would have sight lines blocked all the time. That guy, you know he pays specifically to get on TV.
It's probably $20,000 for those tickets. Is it not a season ticket?
More than that.
Really?
Probably more than that. Those are platinum seats.
Wow. Like,
I don't know exactly what those would go for, but I'll bet you it wouldn't shock me if it was more than that. Okay. And then he probably loads up on a different suit every game.
Oh, yeah. He's dialed
collars. In. He's fired up. And we are as well. Again, we are up here at the Barry Molson Center ahead of the game tonight. We're giving away tickets courtesy of Scotiabank. And we're going to catch up with Bob McKenzie, get Bob's junior stories over the years. Get his take on the Leafs-Habs game last night. McDavid continues to put on a show. And we'll get back into Hugh Hefner. Some more Playboy Mansion stories.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to get back into that. Hugh passing away, cashing his chips at 91.
And the turkey dump.
And the turkey dump segment. We'll do that to kick off the 6 p.m. hour, right?
Okay, we're doing it.
We'll
do it.
We've
been saying it four segments in a row.
We're plugging it.
It's
such good material. We have to build it up.
It's a tease.
It's a tease. Yeah. You can't miss it.
Mark, get a tease. Like, get a dump sound or a turkey gobble or whatever.
Get on it back there in Toronto. Overdrive continues live from Barrie ahead of the Colts game tonight. TSN 1050.